All right, let's transition and talk about the NBA. Bubble now is in place. Obviously, a condensed form of regular season. I mean, this is not the start of a new regular season, although it feels like it is. let's throw it over to our NBA insiders. Noah, Makai, you guys are kind of our go-tos as far as NBA insight here. What do you anticipate? We talked about the bubble and how it's going to affect, you know, this how the virus is going to affect things. But what is your thought on favorites? You know, who's going to be able to rise to the occasion early after a long break? Your overall thoughts on things. Let's start with you, Noah.
Personally, for me, I think the teams that are going to be the best coming out of a long break like this are those that have a lot of chemistry already. So those teams that have players coming back from injury or making changes to their lineups at the last minute, those are the teams that are going to struggle the most. And I think that kind of goes without saying it too loud. So these teams that have had these things set in stone for so long, your Los Angeles, both Los Angeles teams, Milwaukee, these are the teams that I'm thinking will just kind of, I don't want to say run away with it, because obviously after such a long break, anything can happen. But these teams played at a very high level, very consistently, with fairly consistent lineups. So despite a long break, I think they're going to continue to hold better.
I think it's worth mentioning, too, that and it's been said on other from other sources, but I don't think we've ever mentioned it here. The average NBA offseason break from end of the finals to opening night is shorter than the season hiatus that we are just about out of at this point. So you're basically looking at players coming out of an offseason almost like it's a brand new season in itself.
So who is best suited for that? I mean, Noah talked about the Bucks, and I mean, as far as players go, do you feel like, you know, younger guys can handle this from a discipline standpoint? I mean, obviously now at this point, you either handled it or you didn't. But these guys aren't being monitored by college coaches, by maybe their parents as much as they were when they were in college. Can the younger guys, maybe 19, 20 years old, you think these guys are going to be in form?
Some of them probably will be, but others definitely won't. And I can't comment on who will and who won't. I don't know the NBA players specifically that well.
The star level players, like, some people were concerned about whether or not Giannis had the gym. Obviously he does. And from what reports I've heard, he's looking really good in the scrimmages and the practices that they're having. So a lot of these high level players have had access to home gyms and places where they can stay in shape and continue to work on their skills. These guys should be fine. So
many of them changed their bodies too. Like James Harden went through the effort of, I think he lost some of his weight, some of his bulk.
Nikola Vucevic lost, I think, 40 pounds.
Jokic lost weight too.
So there are
good
guys
for Jokic, because Jokic has been gaining weight for like 3 years.
Any word on Joel Embiid? I feel like the only time Joel Embiid's weight changes is when he opens a box of Twinkies.
Who's the guy that got kicked out of the bubble because he was partying? You know who I'm talking about. He had gotten the virus, I believe, or been in contact with it. Then he got kicked out again, Alex.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I don't remember.
Was it Lou Williams?
That sounds right. So any status on him? Because that
I don't
been
think
a pretty...
it's Lou Williams.
I think Lou Williams had to...
I could be wrong, but I think he had to leave for something, but he's being quarantined or something now. But I thought there was a future guy.
Okay. Well, as of 9 hours ago, Lou Williams was put in a 10-day quarantine because he left the bubble.
Right.
But he did not leave the bubble with permission, correct?
As far as I know. I didn't see anything as far as whether he had permission or not, but either way, he left the bubble. He has to be in quarantine for at least 10 days.
So he's out for a week and a half.
Right.
And that's a big blow to the Clippers. I mean, I know that the Clippers are a different team than they were 2 years ago with Lou Williams, but he's still been pretty crucial to their success over past time. I mean, it's going to be interesting. You look at the schedule. Friday, you've got Magic, Nets in the afternoon, Grizzlies, Trailblazers. You've got.
Can I just say about that Grizzlies Blazers game? That has potential playoff implications. Because the Grizzlies only have a couple games.
Technically, given the way the bubble's set up, literally every game has potential playoff implications.
That's what this is, Noah.
Yeah. Unless it's a Wizards game.
Yeah. But anyways, it's only a couple games difference between Memphis and Portland, so that'll be very interesting to watch.
You know, I've heard a lot about Zion. I heard that he gained some weight, even. He was already like, I don't know if he lost. I think he lost weight overall, but put on muscle or some rumor. I don't know if any of that's put true, but muscle? It'll be interesting to see. Yeah. So, I mean, he was like 285. Yeah, exactly. So he'll be interesting to see. You know, I've watched a few Jazz scrimmages in the last few days, so they look okay aside from losing Bogdanovich, but obviously the Clippers-Lakers is the big one, and everyone's going to want to see that. So
look at all these games on Saturday. Have you looked at the ESPN is going to be living it up. Heat, Nuggets, Jazz, Thunder, Pelicans, Clippers, Lakers, Raptors, all on ESPN on Saturday. And you also got a 76ers-Pacers game, which will be on NBC Sports Philadelphia and Fox Sports Indiana. It's going to be interesting to see some of these games. I do wonder, we talked about the Wizards, and this kind of lends us into a discussion about Jared Uthoff. I do want to throw this over to Micaiah and Noah. Alex and I talked about this last week, but Jared Uthoff gets a deal as a substitute player. Talk a little bit about what that means. Getting a deal right now as a substitute player, Mekhi.
I'll say this is about as much as I think it means. In a simulation of a modded NBA 2K11 season, the Wizards made the finals.
Okay. Yeah. Let me go back to the question. this time we're gonna go to somebody who's not talking simulation. Noah, what is a substitute player contract?
Okay, I've not heard anything specifically about a substitute player contract.
You're the NBA insider here, and you're like, I don't know what that is.
He's on the inside.
They lost a player, so they got a free roster slot. Bradley Beal's not playing in the bubble.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
That's what it is. So he is on the active roster. But he's on the active roster because Beal is not allowed in the bubble.
Beal opted out. He said he wasn't going to play.
So my question is, from your guys' standpoint, this is an opportunity for an Iowa player. We know Iowa needs guys to succeed in the NBA from a recruiting standpoint, from an image standpoint. And we love Jared Uthoff, local kid.
Knowing the quality of the Wizards roster, they could use Devin Marble too.
Have you heard anything about Devin getting a chance here in the bubble? I have not heard anything.
I haven't heard anything.
I haven't either.
But
you made a G League team. Was that last year, I think? But that's the last time you heard any news about it.
Jared Uthoff was, I believe, player of the year in the G League this year. So, Noah, how big of an impact, if any, can he make with the Wizards? I understand this is what we said last week. I said the Wizards are basically out of the playoff mix. I didn't really think about this. And again, this is why we have you guys on here. Let's be honest. The Wizards are 5.5 games out. With six
when
games.
It's all over, they'll be 9 games out.
Well, but think about this. Remember this, that if they're within 3 games of the 8th spot, then they're going to have within 4 games of the 8th spot, then they play a best of 2, correct? Or is it best of 3? It's best of 2. That's what they're calling it, a best of 2, to where basically the lower seeded team has to
double eliminate the better seeded team.
Right. So the Wizards are not as far out of it as I thought they were. But does Jared Uthoff, on your estimation, does he have an opportunity to... I mean, obviously, he's got an opportunity. He's on a roster, which is fantastic. He deserves it. Can he get playing time?
I think he could get playing time. I mean, there are a big number of things that could happen that could shake up a roster. injuries, somebody getting sick, or somebody leaving the bubble and then having to be in quarantine. There are multiple things that could allow someone, even at the end of the bench, to get good playing time.
Look at what happened to the Nuggets.
And that kind of goes into our next thing. We've got Tyler Cook gets a deal with the Nuggets. He's been more successful as a rookie than I expected him to be. He's been very, very good in the NBA G League, and he's had 2-way contracts with the Cavaliers. Now he's back with the Nuggets, the team that drafted him. Your guys' outlook, Micaiah, I guess we'll swing this one to you since Noah kind of talked about Utah. Your outlook from an NBA standpoint for Tyler Cook?
I heard that from what little playing time he's gotten with the team so far, that he has played well. They have a lot of hopes for him, and they said they might have a role for him, at least during the scrimmage or pseudo-scrimmage games that they have in the bubble pre-playoffs. When it comes to the playoffs, it's hard to tell. It'll depend on how many slots are open from players that are sick, if that becomes a problem, or if someone gets injured. So it's more of a wait-and-see kind of thing, but he might get some playing time.
I would love to, just for the record, I know we want to bash the Wizards. I would love to see Jared Utah. I mean, wouldn't that be awesome if they could make the playoffs?
If he plays well, I mean, the Nets aren't going to do anything either, and I don't think the Magic are going to do anything.
Those two teams, the Nets and the Magic, are not as far as matchups go.
You fight for the right to play the Bucks or the Raptors/Celtics.
Alex, what are your thoughts on Utah? I know you and I are big fans of his, but and I know we talked about this last week, but I really more I think about this is Utah has a chance, and I've thought that this whole time. He's got to see the floor. He's been tremendous in the G League. He's got to be able to see the floor. And if the Wizards sign him on, it's just a placement. Well, I don't know. I just it's so tough to get back in the NBA once you end up in the G League.
Well, I mean, I think this is a golden opportunity because you've had John Wall, who's been out for the last 10 years, and you got Beal, who's not going to be playing here in the bubble. So, you know, they're going to need scoring, and that's what Utah is, really. I honestly haven't seen him play for years now, but you know, he's got as good an opportunity as you could hope for. So it's hard to know how the Wizards will try to deal with their lineup. You know, I don't follow them, but I know that they've got to have somebody in there to put up some points because Beal pretty much carried that team throughout the whole season. I'm not sure.
Yeah, who's going to play without Wall and Beal?
That's what I mean. There's going to be a huge gap in scoring, so he's got a great opportunity.
Let's just share this for a second.
Wait, who's the center that's so old? I think he's young because he hasn't done anything.
Jan Mahinmi. You know, he was with Dallas as well.
Japanese rookie.
Rui Hachimura.
Yes. And okay, stretch five center.
Davis Bertans. Yep. Boy, we just rattled those off. That was just like, man, I was starting to lose faith in you after I asked Noah what the substitute.
Am I wrong?
I heard about the substitute contract.
And is Isaiah Thomas still on that team?
I don't know. Okay, go ahead, Alex.
Am I wrong, or is Burton's the best player on that team right now?
He is right now.
You're not wrong.
Thomas Bryant.
Ooh, Isak Bunga.
Yeah, Thomas Bryant is probably the best player on the team right now, honestly. Seriously.
Burton's the only one who's like has a standout skill.
Remember Thomas Bryant versus Tyler Cook last year? Yeah, when he was with Indiana.
I forgot Shabazz Napier was on this team.
Yeah, Napier's on this team. Let's see. I don't know who Garrison
Matthews. Gary Payton.
Gary Payton Jr. is?
Yeah, he got minutes during the season.
Anze Pachenkis.
Who's Pachenkis? Okay, Ish Smith's going to play. Admiral Schofield, remember him for Tennessee, Alex, last year?
Yeah.
I didn't realize he was on this team. Jerome Robinson, no idea who that is. No idea who Jonathan Williams is. Mo Wagner will play. I don't know. I mean, look at this. You look at the different guys on this team. The only guy not wearing a jersey besides Utah is Jerian Grant. And they got him from Orlando, correct?
Jerian Grant is not playing.
He's not.
He's one of the players that has been replaced.
Okay, so Bradley Beal's out. Is Bertans playing?
As far as I know.
Bonga?
Let me double check the list of replacement players.
Check it, because I would love to get an active roster here. All I'm seeing.
I heard Beal wasn't going to play, but that was like 2 weeks ago. Maybe he changed his mind.
Okay, I misread it. Jerian Grant is replacing Bertans.
He's replacing Bertans. So Bertans is not playing.
And then Utah is replacing Gary Payton the second.
Seriously? So who's playing for this team?
Is Beal playing?
Here's the deal with Bradley Beal.
Let's see if Beal's playing.
His thing is injury-related, so he cannot be replaced. It's not opting out or coronavirus-related.
Wow, so that actually, and I'm not, again, you don't want to see a guy get hurt, but that's actually in favor of Utah because that shortens the rotation.
The rotation, gives more opportunity for minutes.
Avery Bradley also opted out from the Lakers. That's the other one I can name off the top of my head.
I found a whole list of players that opted out in their replacements. So I'll go take a look at that list quick and see if I can find some notable players.
Who is up for a Suns Magic Finals?
Okay, here you go, right here. According to this, Noah, Bradley Beal, Bonga, Troy Brown, Thomas Bryant, Hachimura, Mahimi, Garrison Matthews, who's a two-way guy, Shabazz Napier, Pashenik, but what is it?
I don't know. It's not Giannis. I can't pronounce names like that.
Or can you pronounce Giannis?
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
But this says that Gary Payton II is playing. So, Noah, do you have any? You said that Utah is replacing him?
As far as I know, on this website.
What's your date on this article, Corey?
This is just 6 days ago.
Okay, because the one I found...
No. Excuse me. This was over 2 weeks ago. It said 6 days ago.
It's July 1st.
This is from July 14th. At 12:03 p.m., and this says, for the Washington Wizards, Jerian Grant is replacing Davis Bertans, who opted, and Jared Utah is replacing Gary Payton II, who was diagnosed with coronavirus.
Oh, Gary Payton was diagnosed with coronavirus.
As far as I know. It just says he's coronavirus.
Okay.
He'll be back then, though.
That's potentially.
Can he come back?
Yeah, I don't know. He would have to clear protocol.
Okay, so I mean, I guess overall, you guys' thoughts on Utah. I mean, you see him getting playing time with this roster.
Wizards, anything is possible.
Seems like a weak roster, guys.
So Bertans is not playing.
He opted out.
We're still back to that. We've asked that question about four times now.
Well, you have Beal and Bertans are both out. There is nobody on that team.
I have
who's
a
question.
Alex, I do have a question. Alex, before you go on, I have a question. So Bertans is not playing?
He's decided to sit out.
So Bertans and Beal's not playing, correct?
Yeah, Wall's not playing, obviously.
Wall's not playing. So again, who's their go-to guy?
Nobody.
Rui Hachimura, probably.
Probably. And Ish Smith. And no, actually, Mo Wagner might be.
I think we should focus on forwards and centers because that's where Utah's going to find playing time, right?
Yeah, he's going
to
get.
He could be coming off the bench. He'd have to beat out a couple of guys.
He is a forward. So this Bertans being out helps Utah.
Right. So as far as he's concerned, you're looking at Hachimura, Bryant, Mahimi, who doesn't get much playing time anyways, is one to remember.
I know it's positionless basketball. It is positionless basketball, but honestly, I would say Mo Wagner, because he's more of a four. I don't consider him a center. Right. Thomas Bryant, I consider more of a center. Right. So I would say probably you're looking at Troy Brown, as far as guys who he's competing with. Troy Brown, Admiral
Schofield. Yeah, Troy Brown looks like he's more of a 2-3. He's listed as a guard forward.
So maybe Schofield, but he's more of a 3, I think. I don't know. I mean, honestly, Pashnik's this guy.
So, Pashnekis.
Pashnekis. God, I swear, if they don't give, at least give him a shot. I mean, seriously, he was the best player in the G League this year.
It's the bubble. What do you have to lose?
I just have a bad feeling, Alex, that they're not going to even play the guy.
Pashnekis.
I have a feeling they're not even going to play the guy.
Hang on. I'm screen share this.
What's that?
Hang on. I'm going to...
Hold on.
Pronunciation guide for this guy. Okay. We keep talking about.
Alex?
You know, I've been watching, like I said, the Jazz scrimmages. They will play him.
Pashnekis.
Hold on. You can't get a sentence in before he starts saying this ridiculous name again.
Go
Sorry.
Ahead, Alex.
what I've seen from the Jazz is they're playing everyone. So, you know, he will be on the floor for the scrimmages. I'd say like 99% chance. So if he shows out a little bit and, you know, I don't know. I think they've played one scrimmage. The Wizards have. The Jazz two.
Does anybody have some stats from that? Nobody's got stats. All right, let me look here. I can get it here, guys. Let me find it. All right, July. Let's see, Wizards.
Clippers.
No, they have not played yet. Tomorrow.
No, it says Clippers.
Oh, what? Excuse me?
It looks like they've played the Clippers.
Okay,
so it's probably 23 hours ago, Clippers at Wizards.
And they also played Denver.
All I'm seeing there, they list on YouTube is just Paul George and Rui Hachimura. But
let me look at the box score here. I'm pulling up the box score. Let's just see what Utah got here. They did play him. He had 13 minutes. He was 13 minutes, 1 of 3 from the field. Had 6 boards. 6 boards, 2 points.
Did not start.
Did not shoot a free throw, did not attempt a three. So 1 of 3 from the field. And his plus minus was not great, although I don't think the team's plus minus was very good because they lost to the Clippers. But they were he was minus 12, but I mean, Admiral Schofield was minus 22. Jonathan Williams was minus 14. Ish Smith was minus 12. So I don't know how much. Do you guys buy into the whole plus minus thing in a situation like this?
Over longer stretches, over multiple games, it kind of bears itself out. But single game, no.
And then Jan Mahimi did not play coach's decision, Noah.
Yeah, that does not surprise me. Jan Mahimi has not been getting much playing time.
He's not going to get time in this
for like the last 3 years.
He's getting paid too much money to play basketball.
All right. So your thoughts on 13 minutes of action, Alex?
I'm watching it right now.
You're watching it?
Oh, yeah. Just the highlights. But, yeah, I mean, you know, it's a first game. You guys are just getting back into it, and he hasn't ever played with these guys ever before, so can't put too much stock into it. The fact that he got 13 minutes, it's pretty interesting.
All right, let's
As
go
we
up
went
to
into ad nauseum. They don't really have a bunch of other options.
Let's go to the initial scrimmage on the 22nd, which was Wednesday, against the Wizards, which is going to be interesting to look at because of Tyler Cook as well. While you're checking that game out, let's see here. So the Wednesday game, the previous game, he got just 4 minutes of playing time and was 0-for-4 from the field.
Corey, does it say what number his jersey is for the Wizards?
Let's see here. I'm showing number 19.
Okay.
But no, 4 minutes that initial game against the Nuggets, 4 minutes 0-for-4 from the field. So, Noah, if you look at that from that standpoint, he's 0-for-3 from three. Did not play well that first game. Only played 5 minutes, then got sat. played better in the next game. He had 6 rebounds, 1 of 3. I mean, not putting up a lot of shots, and he's 1 of 7 overall from the field in these first 2 games, but played nearly 10 more minutes in the second game.
Yeah, which tells me 2 things. Number one, the coaches must be seeing something in practice to at least give him more time in the game. And now, 2, they probably also said, maybe not shoot so much.
I like that breakdown. Maybe think about not shooting very much. Okay, so let's look here at the Nuggets. How about Tyler Cook, Alex? 17 minutes against the Wizards, 2 of 4 from the field. He was 4 of 4 from the line, had 6 boards and 8 points. Had a plus minus of 14, which is the second best on the team behind Bol Bol. Anybody? Alex?
That's quite impressive.
Yeah.
Is that surprising to you? That's surprising to me.
I mean, he's going to be a dominant body in NBA. I mean, he was in college, but like his athleticism is not going to be much different. I mean, he's a beast athletically, even amongst NBA players. So I'm not surprised he's going to get boards, especially. But yeah, he's making free throws. That's a huge thing.
Let's see. Denver played also last night, Micaiah, against the Pelicans and lost in a scrimmage. Let's go ahead and look at
this was the game I sent you the picture of the starting lineup.
Pelicans, Denver? Oh, from yesterday. Okay, so it was a day old. Cook played 28 minutes, Noah. 28 minutes, Noah. 3 of 6 from the field. Had 10 points. Did have a plus minus of minus 16, but the team did lose by 15. But 10 points, Alex.
Well, yeah, and look at Jeremy Grant.
It can't
minus 27.
But again, Gary Harris did not play. Will Barton did not play.
It must have been the other game that I sent him a picture of. I thought it was this one. But
look at all these guys.
Millsap was on the starting lineup picture I sent him, and he did not play in this game.
The Nuggets are a lot deeper, and you wonder if Cook's going to play once we get. I mean, obviously, these, like Alex said, these scrimmages are a chance for guys like Utah and Utah to you know, make
Utah
a name.
And Utah.
Did I say Utah?
Yeah. Cook. Yeah, don't forget Utah.
Cook and Utah to make a name for themselves. But look at this. Barton didn't play. Bates Diop didn't play. Harris didn't play. Monte Morris, Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr. So, I mean, is Cook, he got 28 minutes. I mean, obviously, and he seems to be playing well. And Alex, in this game, he was 4 of 5 from the free throw line with 7 rebounds.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be all over the glass, I think, regardless of who's around. What is he, 6'9", you know, jump out of the building and everything. So, if he can knock down free throws, that's probably all the coaches really care about at this point, because they're not going to let him, you know, step out of his role like he did at Iowa sometimes. So, I think he'll shoot the floor.
It's just weird because I'm just so used to seeing, you know, when you think about these guys, we're so used to seeing Cook play very, like, 3 minutes garbage time against with the Cavaliers earlier this year as a rookie. Jared Utoff played a little with Dallas a couple years back, but really has been stuck in the G League and overseas. And now, again, these are scrimmages, right? We can't say this is not real NBA action, right? We all agree with that. This is not real NBA action until we get to the actual games later this week.
It means more than summer league, but it means less than actual regular season games.
I think these would be semi-impressive summer league stats for guys that really haven't played much of any time in the NBA. So Denver and Orlando will be on a tape delay on Fox Sports Florida. Seriously, Fox Sports Florida couldn't figure out a way to put that game live. What's going on in Fox Sports Florida that they couldn't get a live NBA game scrimmage?
Coronavirus.
Live sports. We're going to tape delay it
We're going to tape delay it, Noah. Who in the front office made that decision? Okay. So that game. So 2 games tomorrow. So we'll see what happens with Utah, what happens with Cook tomorrow. And then Tuesday we've got, of course, we're recording this on a
Sunday. Might have been a baseball game. NBA scrimmage probably doesn't outrate a baseball game.
That's true.
I forgot about baseball, yeah.
But heck, for right now, with what we've had to endure the last 4 months, put it on dual screen. Put them side by side and let it go.
Make up for lost time, right?
Yeah, that's right. It might be the last chance for both of those guys, especially Utah. Well, I say especially Utah, but guys, Cook's getting more playing time and seems to be playing better right now. But the problem is the Nuggets are deeper. Utah, not so much playing time as Cook, but they're not deep at all. So who's got a better chance here? And these games tomorrow, which side, who are they more important to, you think?
I think Cook has already kind of made his case that he deserves a spot on the team. I'm going to say they're more important for Utah, especially if he wants playing time. Nah, he's probably got a spot on that team regardless of how he plays, especially considering he's already cleared the bubble and is cleared protocol. So I think he's part of that team until this whole thing is done. But yeah, this is going to be much more important for him.
Can we get big picture on this? Noah, what is this bubble? We really haven't talked about this schedule too much. We know it's starting later this week. Official games, a lot of games are going to be televised on NBA TV, ESPN, TNT, etc. What's the overall schedule? I know we've got a series of games as we lead up to potential play-in games for the playoffs and in the playoffs and in the finals. What are we looking at as far as a timeline here?
Double check the schedule. Add it up here somewhere. Where'd it go? I had this control pump and it's gone. Okay, what did you do?
I didn't do anything. I've been sitting here. Corey can vouch for me.
If it's worth anything, Utah finished that game, which was a close game, the scrimmage game.
He did.
Yeah.
Does he look like he's playing well?
He looks really timid. But he did have a good rebound and went up through about three guys, including Joke and Noah, and put it back in right at the end there. But it was a close game. I mean, they were down by like five, and he put that – or no, four, and he got a big rebound and put it back in, got him within
two. Did you find your schedule, Noah?
And then they made a three or something on the other end, so –
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have one more chance. I just think that he's going to maybe have a chance in the actual games with that roster. I mean, I'm honestly more intrigued, even though it looks like Cook's playing better, I'm more intrigued by the Utah situation. Am I alone on this? As far as Hawkeyes wanting to see somebody succeed, wouldn't you say Utah's a little bit more of an intriguing situation because of what team he's on?
Okay, and he had more of an opportunity on that team than I think Cook would have on the Nuggets, honestly.
So, Noah, give me a big picture here.
So, I think you just found the end of the schedule there, that currently their plan is to go through
all the way
to August 14th before they really get into the playoff games.
That's so short, though.
Warm-up seeding games. The main focus of the bubble is about the playoffs.
I know, it's just crazy. So, and then once we hit August 14th, we'll see if there's a four or less game gap between the 8th and 9th spots, right? And if there is, we'll have a series of playing games. So the schedule for the playoffs or playing games has not officially been set, correct?
Right. Yeah. Let's be honest, the only reason these play-in games exist before the playoffs, they'll tell you it's due to financial concerns, and yeah, that's part of it. But to be honest, Zion wasn't in the playoffs. So
I agree. I agree with that. I don't know how he could gain weight, though. He was always a load.
I don't think he gained weight. I think they said he gained muscle and lost weight overall.
Transformed weight.
But I mean, look at all these games. I know you guys have NBA TV. I do not. But look at all these games on ESPN, on TNT. I mean, are you kidding me right now? Are you kidding me? I mean, seriously, if this doesn't scream, we are desperate, we are so happy there's sports to televise, I don't know. This is literally every day, guys. This is every single day.
There's like four televised games a day or something.
A day. Per day.
That's just the televised ones.
That is ridiculous. Look at this. Thursday, TNT's got three games preceded by an NBA TV game and two other games that aren't able to be televised.
That is August 6th. You're looking
here's
at
a just Tuesday for clarification. Here's a Tuesday with four games televised. Here's a Monday on the 3rd. This coming Monday. No, a week from tomorrow. You've got two games on ESPN, two games on NBA TV, and then two that aren't televised. I mean, you got a couple games on ABC. You've got, here's a day of Saturday, this coming
first
Saturday.
First of August.
Four ESPN games.
All in the same day.
So, for 2 weeks, what do you guys expect? I mean, we're kind of making our final predictions as we wrap this show up. 2 weeks, officially a little bit more. But 2 weeks as we lead into these playing games in the playoffs. We talked about favorites. We know the Bucks are there, the Clippers, the Lakers. We talked about Iowa from an Iowa standpoint with Utah and Cook. What's your biggest things to look for? We'll start with you, Micaiah. Biggest things to look for these first 2 weeks of official games that count in the bubble?
Well, chemistry is something to really watch for these teams that their players haven't played together much since the break. See who can pick up their chemistry faster, because that'll tell you who gets off to a better start in the playoffs. And that means a lot in the playoffs. I'm personally very interested to see what Denver does with their video game lineup, because it breaks
my
brain.
Explain what you mean by video game lineup.
Starting five power forward / centers in your starting lineup. Nikola Jokic.
I don't know if that's going to happen, though, in the real games.
Probably not, but no, hey, all if those you're guys playing Martin, Houston, you're not going to outshoot Houston.
Remember, Kade Bates, Diop, Will Barton, Monte Morris, all those guys were sitting. So I don't even see Bol Bol playing
and
at all.
Gary Harris.
I don't see Bol Bol playing at all, but Alex, remember Bol Bol playing against – it's funny, the Denver – has Tyler Cook and Bol Bol, because they played against each other, Iowa, Oregon. Do you remember that 2 years ago, Alex, and you got Bol Bol, a 7-footer, running down the court and like crossing guys over and shooting fadeaways? Do you remember that?
Yeah, vaguely. Because didn't he get injured and then he didn't really play?
Yeah, he
play
got hurt, and Iowa dominated that game in Madison Square Garden.
Bol only played like, I want to say, 7 college games total.
Yeah, he got hurt really, like I said, one of them was against Iowa. In Madison Square Garden, got hurt. Iowa ran away with it, and then he declared for the draft. Noah, biggest things to take away, or I guess to look for these first 2 weeks for you?
On a very specific note, one of the things I'm looking forward to is seeing how Dallas does, and specifically Luka Doncic, not just after the first or after this long break, but also going into his first playoffs, how he does. How he handles the pressure.
What a weird
situation.
What a weird first playoffs.
I know.
You know, for a guy like him. And I did see a video of him yesterday blowing by, I think it was Kyle Kuzma or someone, and stuffing it on him.
It's not hard to blow by Kyle Kuzma.
Dallas is an underdog. And
Corey,
obviously I'm a Dallas
you could fan. Probably blow by Kyle Kuzma.
Thank you.
I would agree with you, Corey, that Dallas is an underdog.
Hey, give me some credit. I lost weight.
We have to actually see it on the court, Micaiah. So once
you won't see it on the court, I lost it.
No, I actually want to see it translate on the court.
We played ball a couple days ago. We could feel the difference in our knees.
I wasn't nearly.
Well, that's
sore
why we
got
to get. That's why this should give you guys motivation for everyone to wear a mask, so Micaiah and Noah and us can get back to Riverview. All right. So you agree Dallas is an underdog. Alex, you'd probably say the Jazz are an underdog. What's your outlook here?
Well, I mean, I felt good about them back in March, but now they lost their secondary or maybe primary scoring option. I'm not as high on them now. But, yeah, they're probably – I think they still have potential to make a run. So, yeah, I call them an underdog.
So you're talking about Mitchell not playing?
Is it?
No, Bogdanovich.
Meanwhile, you got you guys' big banner behind you, Chicago Bulls. They are not
in the bubble.
They do not believe they are in the bubble.
No.
Did you hear the rumor going around about the Delete Eight?
Yeah.
The eight teams that didn't make the bubble. They were going to have a second bubble in Chicago.
Yeah. Alex brought that up in the last podcast.
So that's not going to happen?
Currently, it's still not happening.
Okay.
It had something to do with draft lottery, yada, 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 yada.
This has been an entertaining show. Anything to add, you guys? I mean, we're a little over 2 hours. It feels longer because we've covered a lot. And we've actually, let's be honest, we didn't drift into incessant nonsense this show. We didn't have hours of game film, which nobody who's listening to the show can actually view. We actually were able to talk. We stayed on task. We talked NFL. We talked a little college football. Coronavirus, obviously. I'm glad we didn't spend an hour on the coronavirus, though. And we did talk actual basketball. So anything to add from anybody on the panel about the bubble, about these next couple of weeks? I don't know. Micaiah, Noah, you guys have thoughts on this. You can kind of look at it from more of an NBA perspective, but your final predictions on Luka's decision, and a decision that's going to impact college basketball. It's the considered by most to be the number one decision of any athlete for going pro or staying in college this entire year. And if he comes back, Iowa's going to be, I think, consensus top 10 preseason, and by some top 5, we've even seen top 3.
Personally, if he's concerned about his NBA career, if he thinks he has like a serious career in the NBA, he should come out this year, because you need to get into the NBA as soon as possible. The longer you stay out of the NBA, the more your draft stock has a tendency to drop in general. So he could potentially raise it, but only if he has a really, really strong showing. If he plays the same as he did last year, his stock you'd think would be the same, but it'll actually drop.
Because he's
his original thing was, I'm not going to go to the NBA unless I'm guaranteed an NBA contract. But again, that was like 2-3 months ago. And, you know, I don't think he expected things to be virus-wise where they're at right now. Noah?
The only thing I can think about is, you mentioned it a little bit, what happens if there is a truncated college basketball season, or there isn't a college basketball season? And you think about all of these things, that could convince him to go to the NBA, or at least try to, because then he's guaranteed to play basketball. But as far as whether I think he's going to go or not, I honestly have no idea. Like we've said before, his family have said a lot of things, but they haven't really said anything concrete.
Micaiah, have you mentioned kind of trying to get a read on this from interviews and whatnot. Have you heard anything from Frank? I mean, I've listened to a couple interviews from Frank Garza, one of which was fairly recent. I said this to Alex last week, he seems like a great guy, really concerned about his kid, trains Luka, but I mean, he is a really kind of an interesting, you can tell he's a very, one of those guys that's sort of, Alex, how do I describe, I always have problems trying to describe Frank's personality.
I've only read his quotes, I haven't actually seen him speak.
He just seems a little bit, I don't want to say he's not flamboyant. He's hard to get a read on. And I mean, have you heard anything from Frank, Micaiah?
Not anything specific.
I did just read some article or something, I think it was just this week. One thing that he mentioned is, you know, it is in their minds that if Luka comes back, that he will end up being the leading scorer in Iowa history. So that's something that they're weighing for sure.
Fran McCaffrey said that on John Rothstein's podcast as well. He said he will be our all-time leading scorer. He's going to have his jersey in the rafters.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's got to be a bit of a factor. I mean, the other thing is, like Micaiah was talking about with the draft stock thing, that could happen as far as him not improving. But if you look at from his last season to this past season, the improvement he made, to me, that improvement was mainly he improved in a way that allowed him to totally dominate the college game. So what I think is probably, if he were to come back going into this next season, he's going to focus more on improving in ways that will benefit his draft stock. And if he improves anything like the way he did last offseason, you know, he's going to improve his foot speed, his quickness, his athleticism in general, his three-point shot. I could definitely see his draft stock going up, even if he doesn't maybe put up quite the numbers. If he looks, and I think he would, I don't see why he wouldn't put up at least close to the same numbers, but, you know, if he's, even if he's over 20 points a game, if he's looking more like an NBA player, I could see him increasing his draft stock. So I think those are all things they're probably thinking about. I mean, who wouldn't want to go down as the biggest scorer in the history of a major school, you know?
One thing Frank Garza did say, though, recently was next year's draft stock, as far as cumulative quality of draft, is much higher than this year. So, I mean, you're looking at that, and I agree with you. He could improve his draft stock, but he's also going to be going up against tougher competition from a draft standpoint next year.
Yeah, so, I can see that.
One thing I wanted to add, we're going to wrap this thing up. We will talk about Garza's decision next week because we'll have an answer, theoretically. The deadline is next on the 3rd of August, and we'll have an answer by the 2nd. We'll also have some NBA stuff to talk about. But I want to end the podcast with this. Karen Shumpert, the mother of Don Shumpert, we interviewed Don earlier and talked about his tough situation with his father. This is a quote from Karen Shumpert. She posted this on Don's Facebook timeline here just a couple weeks ago, and this is really touching. I just want to share this for the listeners. My son Don Shumpert has been here for about a month and has taken full care of his father, from cooking daily, grocery shopping, and all doctor appointments. He's given my daughter and I a much-needed break. Son, just wanted you to know how much you were appreciated. He sacrificed coming here during the pandemic. I think it's a good note to finish on. If you can donate towards the cause, GoFundMe, Coach Shump, and Don, best wishes to you and your family. And again, thank you for coming on our show. For Don Shumpert, Micaiah Kruko, Noah Kruko, Alex Brada, I'm Corey Brada. This has been Brada's Branded Thoughts, week number 122. We'll see you back next week. It's going to be a wild week. A lot of news, a lot of stuff happening.
And the start of the actual NBA season again.
Let's get these numbers down. Get these numbers down. People, keep wearing your masks. Get these numbers down. And I'm telling you, if we do, maybe we'll get a normal, somewhat normal fall. We'll talk to you soon. Go Hawks.